Take a look at the top Apple podcasts, and you'll see a lot of true crime shows, some news, plenty of entertainment. But scroll down, and you will find The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. It's a dramatic, true story about a controversial megachurch in Seattle and the charismatic pastor who built it. As it turns out, the scandals that undermine the church are as compelling as a crime show. And this story is told from inside the faith, from the evangelical publication Christianity Today. Reporter and host Mike Cosper joins us now. And Mike, thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Now, Mike, this show is about fame, faith, and power converging in the person of Mark Driscoll. In a way, he was the first internet celebrity pastor. And as you tell the story, he could be bitingly funny. Here he is scolding men for not being good enough providers and protectors, as he saw it, to women and children.
I don't care if you buy a truck and you could play some video games and rock out on your guitar. I don't really care. But the issue is when those are prevalent, predominant, and preeminent in your life, some of you guys would argue with me and say it's not a sin. No, but sometimes it's just stupid. You work one part-time job so you could play more guitar. That's dumb. That's really, really dumb. Some of you say, well, it's not a sin. Neither is eating your lawnmower. It's just dumb.
Mark Driscoll built a church of more than 15,000 people. Tell us about him and the environment he came out of.
Yeah, so, the story he often told was growing up kind of in a rough part of the city of Seattle, not from a Christian home, but then somewhere in his high school years, he was an athlete, he was a baseball player, mm-hmm. but he met his now wife, Grace. She was a pastor's daughter, and through that relationship became a Christian, and then kind of came out of his college years saying, I want to plant a church, at 22, 23 years old. Had never been a member of a church, had no formal seminary training or anything like that. He just had these instincts, wow. particularly with how to connect to guys like him that he didn't think were interested in churches.
Well, as we heard and as you tell on your podcast, he has this charisma. In Mars Hill Church, he was always the star. Everyone else was the backup singers. And he wasn't accountable to any denominational hierarchy, and he could fire people at will. Let's take a listen to him.
There is a pile of dead bodies behind the Mars Hill bus. And by God's grace, it'll be a mountain by the time we're done. You either get on the bus or you get run over by the bus. Those are the options. But the bus ain't going to stop.
So, Mike, who did Driscoll fire and why?
Well, that's a long list. But yeah, over the years, there were quite a few people who were either directly fired by him for what was often, in his mind, sort of insubordination, what was often on their, in their mind, just general confrontation. One of the first stories we told was of a woman who was sort of an executive assistant. And, she was fired for having told someone else in the church, essentially, hey, I think it's great that there are some older men who've come into this community. Mark was about 30 at the time, and there were some guys who had come in who were in their mid-late 40s. She said, I think it's great there are some older men around here that can confront him and mature him and help him to grow. And she was fired within days of that. That particular quote was, the elders had been asked to weigh in on a new governing document, and a couple of guys had sent an email raising some concerns. Mark walked off the stage from preaching a sermon and fired them the next day.
It's clear from your telling that Mark Driscoll's teaching on masculinity were toxic for women. He would go into graphic detail about sexual submission. And Jen Schmidt, a blogger for the Mars Hill website and wife of one of the pastors there, she was ostracized for supposedly grasping for power. And in one meeting, Mark Driscoll, the pastor, wouldn't even speak directly to her. Here she is talking about it.
You would not even look me in the eye and acknowledge my plea to him to have some sort of relational restoration.
Would not even look me in the eye. Mike, tell us a little bit more about how the church treated its female members.
Yeah, so there are kind of three big schools in evangelicalism in terms of how they understand men and women and leadership in the church. There's egalitarianism. Men and women share roles, do the same things. There's complementarianism, which is kind of this sort of equal in dignity, but different roles in the home and in the church. And then there's patriarchy, which is often more of a subordination. On paper, Mars Hill was in the middle on the complementarian camp, but functionally it was very patriarchal. It was very top down. Moments later in that clip you played, she talks about how he turned to her husband and said, I reserve the right to speak to the heads of households.
Wow.
There was very much, even when he would talk about sex and sexuality, there was the responsibility of wives were to please and care for their husbands sexually. Every other woman in the world was a temptress and a danger to men. And he would speak very graphically about that as well.
When Mark Driscoll was at his peak, why do you think so many people stayed with him? I guess we hear a lot of people on the podcast in retrospect saying, well, I can't believe I was in this abusive relationship. But at the time, why do you think they stayed with him?
Yeah, I think there's two answers to that. I think one is inside the church and one is out. I think inside the church, it's kind of similar to why people stay inside of cults for a very long time. There's a sense of community that people's friendships, their relationships, their families even were members there. And yeah, you'd roll your eyes at something Mark said on Sunday, but you were actually there because of the experience of community. I think from the outside, because Mark was in alignment with a lot of other people on, you know, biblical inerrancy or gender or a certain understanding of salvation and atonement and the spread of the gospel, and because he was young and successful in his work, they wanted to have that alignment.
Well, this is a story of hubris that this podcast is about. And we have seen it with other brand name famous preachers, Ravi Zacharias, Bill Hybels. In the end, as people start falling away from Mars Hill, one of the final straws was a deal for a book Mark Driscoll called Real Marriage. What happened there?
Yeah, so as part of sort of the marketing and promotion scheme for the book, they contracted with a company called ResultSource, who has this elaborate method of gaming the New York Times bestseller list. So the whole thing cost about $250,000. And then about a year and a half later, it started to leak that it had happened. And then in the fall of 2013, there were a couple of incidents, particularly a radio interview that he gave to a woman named Janet Mefford. On the interview, she accused him of plagiarism. And following that interview, there was sort of case after case after case of plagiarism in his writing that got exposed. And it led to about 9 months of just nonstop coverage of not only those controversies, but then all of what had come in the years before.
Yeah. In the end, as the church is folding, the people around Mark Driscoll slowly leave. And the dissenters, you know, when they leave, they become persona non grata. Let's take a listen to Jesse Bryan. He ran the media team at Mars Hill.
When you leave, you're dead. You're a dead person, not only inside of all of your community, but also from a career standpoint, because now you work for the Enron of churches.
So for Mark Driscoll, after he ultimately leaves this church, the Enron of churches, as this person is describing it, where does he go?
Yeah, he spent about a year and a half off, I believe. But during that year, he made a variety of appearances at other churches up and down the West Coast, you know, a few in the kind of the Southwest. The attitude of everywhere he went was like, oh, he was a victim of these angry, embittered staff members, you know, who came out to get him. So he found a lot of sympathy. He kind of maintained a lot of his online audience and then relocated to Scottsdale, Arizona, and planted a church where he launched successfully and pastors still today.
Wow. Meantime, the former Mars Hill members up in Seattle, many of them were so shattered by their experience, they left Christianity altogether, as you tell in your podcast. Others found new churches. You talked to Diane Langberg, a Christian psychologist who works with trauma survivors and clergy. Let's take a listen to her.
I think in our country, we as Christians have ceased to think that the most important thing that we do is be like Christ, who serves the least of these. That's not what we've been doing. We've been garnering fame and numbers and money, and it's ugly and it's divisive and it's really not about Christ at all. And it breaks God's heart.
Mike, in your view, is there a broader moral for evangelical America and celebrity pastors, or is this just the story of one church?
No, I definitely think there's a broader story. I mean, one of the reasons we wanted to tell this story, you know, in part is because it all happened online, because he was this sort of internet persona. But also, a lot of us kind of agree that Mark said things very loudly that are said quietly in all kinds of churches, related to power, related to celebrity. At some point, I think the church needs to have a reckoning with its relationship to power and weakness. And the church's witness historically is a witness of weakness, of serving the least of these, of going to the poor, of going to the sick, of giving up their lives. And that's been very much inverted, and it was certainly inverted in a place like Mars Hill, where, you know, the concentration of power and wealth became narrower and narrower and more fiercely guarded over time.
And Mike, finally, I mean, you've had a lot of success with this podcast. A lot of people inside and outside the church have listened to it. Have you heard anything from Mark Driscoll himself?
No, unfortunately not. You know, we're open that if he did want to talk to us, I mean, I'd be on the next plane to Phoenix.
Mike Hosper is the host of the podcast, The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Mike, thanks so much for the time.
I so appreciate being asked.